Hey guys, big podcast here. I think we're at like number 32 or something like that, but whatever. Steve and I, we just watched the Microsoft unveiling of the Xbox One, which is their next generation Xbox. Steve and I have not talked. I thought it'd be kind of cool to just have our live reactions and stuff like that as they happen instead of always yakking for 2 hours before we do the podcast. So, Mr. Steven, what did you think? Well, let's start with the name. What do you think of Xbox One?
I'm not actually sure right now, honestly. It's like really weird because when you think about systems, usually you call them like, you numerize them 1, 2, 3, and this is the third one, yet it's going to be referred to as the first one, which will be very confusing, I find, for some people, but it makes sense what they're trying to do there, but we will see down the line. I think it's like the Wii, what we thought before the Wii, what the name meant and all that. It turned out to be pretty good for Nintendo, so we'll see.
Okay, well, for me, I actually like it. I wasn't sure, like at first there, I was like, oh, well, what's it going to be? Because all the rumors were saying it's going to be, like, Fusion or Infinity or all this other crap. And I actually really like it, the Xbox One. I know it seems, like you say, weird because they're usually iterated. But, like you say, it's got to do with exactly what Microsoft's trying to do. So, what is Microsoft trying to do for those that have yet to watch the conference? Well, basically, first off, when you buy the system, you get the hardware, you get the, I don't know, they're still calling it Kinect, so I guess it's just Kinect version 2 or whatever, and you get a manette, the controller. Now, the idea here is, basically, in my opinion, what this system is going to try and do is basically what the original idea behind Kinect was. At least, this is the way I feel about it. When Microsoft first started talking about Kinect and sort of integrating it in with their entertainment features, they did a lot of talking about how, like, you'd be able to speak to your system and you'd be able to interact with your system and your system would know you, as in personally, like, get to know you and your tastes and things like that. And it never really sort of came together like that. Like, the ideas were there. You could always do, like, Xbox Bing something and do searches. You could talk to Kinect in order to start up games and things like that. But what they really want to do with this one is really take it to the next level, to make it that one-stop, like, machine that you go to. I mean, before I get carried away here, in the box itself, you can connect your cable box, okay? And the idea is that you will be able to turn on your television, you'll be able to switch between playing a video game, to watching a movie, to watching real live TV. All of this sort of content is all done through either hand gestures, using the controller, or through speaking to your system. And it's done in a very, very easy way. You can just say, Xbox, let's watch TV, something like that. And it will just instantly switch over to live TV. Okay, I'll stop right there. Okay, so that's one aspect of it. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, for me, it sounded very impressive when they were doing that demo of that, especially since it's a crowded audience. Usually, these kinds of things, they have problems. There's interference. It was like pretty much spot on. Everything he said happened instantly. That was pretty impressive. But for me, this is something that has practically no appeal to me. I'm one of the few who doesn't even have a cable or satellite. I'm not a big TV guy. I only use it for sports, which is pretty interesting. But in Canada, I do have my hockey games right now. I just found out that they are on Xbox Live, which is pretty useful for me. But that's something that probably won't happen during the regular season and stuff like that. So all that stuff, it's pretty impressive. But I'm in the minority here, and it's not really something that is a system sort of for a person like me.
Okay. Well, for me, just talking about these features, okay, I think it's very, very impressive, like, what they've done. Like I said, in my opinion, this is just me, okay, this is just Jared, but I really think that this is what they envisioned when they came out with the Kinect, was exactly this. And I'm very glad to see that they're basically able to do what their original vision was. the downside to this, at least in my opinion, is, like you just said, is going to be the rest of the world, basically. Like, it's okay for Microsoft to basically have the different communication standards to get your cable box to communicate with your Xbox One. But for those that don't know, it is a lot more difficult than you think. And around the world, there are literally thousands of cable providers, and there are little, like, you know, obscurities that are going to block this feature from really working as well as you see it working in that demonstration, mainly because it's not as simple as just plugging in your device to the Xbox One. The Xbox One itself needs to know what it is that's being plugged into it. And so I hope that this is going to really work out well in Canada and especially in Europe. But I am just, for anyone who's listening, especially anyone in Europe, you know, don't be overly excited about that feature just yet. Wait until, like, all the little nuances are announced, because I'm damn positive that there's going to be a little asterisk or something on the box saying that this will only work with select services and select cable boxes and what have you. The other thing, when they mention the fact that you'll be able to basically control all your different apparatuses directly through the Xbox One, again, I'm a little hesitant. Like, it sounds great, but I'm a little hesitant with this because I understand the technology behind it. For example, if you have a Wii U, it's great being able to press the TV button. But what happens exactly when you press the TV button? It essentially, it's communicating with and only with your television. But what happens to guys like me that have got surround sound systems and stuff like that? You know what I mean? Like, I can't switch to my receiver and things like that. And that's something, that's another thing that, like, I wonder exactly how, just how much, like, our different devices and whatnot are actually going to be able to be controlled by this particular device. Because right now, I have everything running through my amp, and I'm just curious. We'll see what happens. But like Steven said, I mean, I'm very impressed that at least they're really, really going after the living room here. They seem really gung-ho in making your Xbox your, like, go-to platform, not even for gaming, but for everything, for your one-stop media hub. And it's, like, good on them. I'm happy about that. I also, they announced that Smart Glass, for those that don't know, that's basically an application that runs on your mobile device or your tablet. They said this time it's going to be fully integrated into the operating system. Now, in certain interviews that other media sites have given in the past hour, they've actually said that you're going to be able to have your full dashboard on your mobile device. Now, whether or not that means you'll be able to control what's happening on your console while you're on vacation, we don't know. Or if it's going to be, like, local, like you have to be on the same Wi-Fi connection. Again, we don't know any of this. But still, it's promising that even if I can't or I don't want to speak to my system or to use hand gestures to switch between different things, I can simply go to my phone and press a on the screen or whatever and swap applications like that. And speaking of which, what did you think of one of their other newly announced things, that swap mode, or what was it called? Not swap mode. It was
swap mode.
Was it swap? Okay, yeah. Well, anyways. Yeah, what did you think of that, that multitasking thing?
Oh, well, that's something that's, again, that's very impressive and will have its uses more certainly, especially when they showed the NFL and the NBA stuff where you can just have fantasy league updates right as they happen. So it's like I don't really have much else to say. That it sounded impressive, and, like, me, I'm not just that into, like, multimedia. Like, I like to use something for one specific reason. I don't really, like, when I want to go on the web browser, I'll use my iPad. I don't think I'll start just using the Xbox screen and stuff like that, but maybe that will change me, finally make me use things for more than one purpose. But
okay, no, that's cool. The official, it's called Snap Mode. That's the official thing. One thing that I thought was very interesting, And with all conferences like this, I'm the type of guy that when I watch them, I like to listen for the things they don't mention. And one of the things I noticed they did not mention was that snap mode would be able to be used while gaming. They said you could use it for watching movies, surfing the web, during Skype calls, during this, that, the other thing. But not once did they actually mention playing video games. And I think there's a very good reason for that. And that is something like that, when you want to do multitasking, just like on your computer, it requires a buttload of RAM to do. And they confirmed that there's going to be 8 gigabytes of system memory. But the thing is, game developers are going to want to use all 8 gigabytes of that. And Sony was very clear in their press conference that they too have 8 gigabytes, but the 8 gigabytes was free memory. They said that they had another section of the console was built purposely to run the OS. Like, it was separated down the middle, almost like two computers built in one. So I'm just wondering if that snap mode is even going to be able to be used in gaming. And if it is, what kind of RAM hog is that going to, is that going to have? Is that going to cut the RAM down by like 20% or what? So kind of curious to see how that actually goes. But again, this is all the multimedia features. And like Steven, I mean, I'm not a giant like multimedia whore here. I mean, I don't even watch television. So, yeah. But anyways, let's get to some other things that weren't mentioned but that have since been brought up in interviews and whatnot before we jump back. We've mentioned the multitasking, mentioned a lot about the multimedia features. Something else, just so you guys know, if your cable box is supported by the Xbox One, there's something new called the Xbox Guide, and basically it works just like your cable box does, in the sense that it'll show you whatever is playing on live TV, but something cool is it will also show you whatever's trending and your favorites. And I'm going to go on a whim here and assume that you'll probably even be able to record your shows and things like that through the Xbox One, but it'll save, obviously, on your PVR that you have. Okay. So, now new information that has popped up. I just want to make damn sure I don't skip anything. Okay, so, two of the biggest rumors that were going around before this event was, one, that the system would always require an internet connection. And that has since been debunked, okay? The Xbox One will not require an internet connection in order to play games. But there is an however. The brand new, it's called the Azure Cloud Service. That's that whole thing. Basically, Xbox Live now is being integrated into the cloud. What does this mean? It means that during any point in your while you're playing your games, you will be able to save and record video footage and then upload it to Xbox Live. You know how Sony had shown their like share button and stuff like that? Well, it works pretty much exactly the same. The only difference is Sony is using the Gaikai service, whereas Microsoft has built it themselves. It's like their own service within Xbox Live. And that was their big thing that they talked about with Xbox Live, was the fact that they're going to have like exponentially more servers due to this new Xbox Live and this whole recording, which makes sense because if you think of it, right now all we can do is send voice chat, voice messages, and a few things like that, and text messages. But now being able to actually go ahead and send video footage in 1080p, that's going to require like a lot of bandwidth. But anyways, just back to this always-on thing. If the video game makes use of the new Xbox Live cloud service for gaming purposes, in other words, if content is going to be pushed to your game, in that case, then yes, the video game will not work if you're not connected to the internet. What are your thoughts?
Well, so basically, like, a select few games won't have single-player games. That's what you mean, right?
Well, basically what it means is that, yeah, like, if it's a multiplayer-heavy game, I'm assuming, like, it will require an internet connection.
Yeah, what this seems to me is, like, the game's online mode, the game that only have online modes, but most games don't have exclusive online modes. I don't know how this will work, but like as long as you know what games you want and stuff like that, like I don't think this is an issue at all. But like there's there's a few games on the PC that are online only right now. So I guess it's just a step that gamers will have to adjust to, I guess.
Yeah, and I don't think this is going to be an issue at all. My opinion on this is that this is a non-issue because they basically debunked the fact that that you're going to need an always-on connection. So who cares if like 5 or 10 games require an always-online connection? Like it doesn't really matter. The simple point is that not all games will require it. So that's good. In my opinion, that's very good news. Now this next bit of news is, it doesn't really affect me per se, but it is going to affect some of you guys out there. So, used video games will not work on the Xbox One in the traditional sense because of this. We're still trying to get some confirmation on exactly how this works, but right now this is what we're being told. When you put in a disc in the Xbox One, it's going to tie the game to your Xbox Live account. Okay? Now, we're getting mixed reports because some are saying that you can play the game on the disc and others are saying you can't play the game on the disc, that the disc is basically just there if you don't want to download the game from Xbox Live. Okay? In other words, they're saying no matter what, you have to download the game to your hard drive. Okay? But again, that is not confirmed, so don't quote me on that. But what is confirmed is that irregardless of how you get your game, the minute you have the game, it's tied to your Xbox Live account. So if I play a game, I go out, I spend $60, buy a game, and I send it to Steven, he puts it in the system, it will say that this game is already registered to another Xbox Live account. Would you like to activate it on your account? And if he says yes, there will be an additional cost. The question on everyone's mind right now is, what is that additional cost? And we do not know at this time.
Yeah, this is actually pretty interesting news. Like it affects us in a lot of ways. Like just for instance, if you want to play just a game on your system, then you want to bring it to a friend's place. Can you log into your Xbox Live account to that friend's place and play your game there, or does it have to be on your system with your Xbox Live account and stuff like that?
From what I'm understanding, it's not hardware locked, which means you would be able to bring it to a friend's place, sign in as Steven, and you'd be able to play.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
But for me, if that's how it is, it's not that bad. It's because this is the last generation that we're going to see actual retail games. It's the last, it's clear. Next gen, if there is a next gen, that's another debate, it will be all over digital stuff. So this shouldn't really affect anybody here. I know that this will probably end the gaming stores in a few years, or maybe 10 years, let's say, but those were already doomed anyway. The biggest problem with this is for the gamers who like to trade in their games just because it's not everybody, not everybody is rich, and we all have just a bit amount of money that we need to spend other stuff, and it's tight to limit your budget and buy select games. So when you're able to trade in games and buy a used one, it allows gamers to play more games that they normally wouldn't be able to. That's probably the only sad thing about this. But besides that, I'm pretty comfortable with that, actually, because you have to realize that used games, the developers don't see any money coming from that, and we hear every month of companies closing down and stuff like that, and you never like to hear about things that happen like that. So for me, it's a very positive thing. Like the whole buying retail games and stuff, it's done for me. I've switched over to digital. I know that there was a big movement about a year ago on YouTube with retro gamers, the gamers that like to collect games and all that. Well, they can still collect their retro games. I mean, that's what's what's most valuable is more like the Super NES, NES stuff or GameCube even, but not like these new games. They're not going to be worth much in the future anyway. So for me, this is really not a bad thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the only people that I sort of feel bad for are those people, like you said, that are basically, that's the only way they can play video games is by basically buying a new game, trading it in, getting some money, buying used games, stuff like that. So, but again, this might not be the end of the world here. We need to see how much money it costs to activate it on your account. I mean, if it's not much money, then, you know, it won't be that bad.
Yeah, but you have to consider that they'll have to pay, like, let's say the used game right now is $30 or $40. They'll have to pay that plus the additional fee, so.
Well, that's it. Exactly. That's why. But yeah. That's the thing.
Another
exactly.
Thing I just want to quickly mention is that eventually, I'm pretty sure that with digital games, the cost of a full retail game will be less. And even with Sony's approach that you can buy as you play or just try games and buy, I think that you can buy select portions of games and see if you like it and whatever. So I'm pretty sure the pricing model will change drastically over the years.
Yeah, guaranteed. Guaranteed.
I mean, just to mention here quickly again. Sorry for
no. Go, man. I've been talking.
Some people will have no choice right now to adapt the same strategy as this, because this is something that developers will really like. That Microsoft is forcing people to buy their games new, so Sony will have no choice to match this if they want games, multi-platform games on their system, which I'm pretty sure they will.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, it goes without saying, because, like you say, I mean, basically, every time someone now buys a video game on the Xbox One, that money is not going to go to Microsoft. That money is going to go to the developer of the title. So, hell yes, Sony's not going to have much of a choice. I mean, they could try and swing this, but it's not going to last for long, because, like you say, eventually third parties will be like, oh, yeah? If you don't do this, you're not going to get Grand Theft Auto 6 or something like that, you know? Okay, next big thing that was not mentioned. Much like the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One is 110% incompatible with the Xbox 360 software, meaning all of your Xbox 360 disc-based games or Xbox Live Arcade games will not transfer over to the next machine and will not in any way, shape, or form be playable on the new hardware. This should come as no surprise.
It's kind of sad that the Xbox Live Arcade stuff doesn't carry over. I mean, that should have been, like, at least have an option like the Wii U where you can transfer all your games and play them on the original 360 mode or something like that. But the rest of the stuff, well, if you want to play them, just keep your old console plug. I know it's not practical, but it's cheaper for them instead of making us pay another $100 just to have an Xbox built into the Xbox One. Well, saves them money and us too.
Yeah, exactly. And like I say, I mean, this doesn't surprise me at all, because even those Xbox Live games, the reason for this, what they're saying anyway, is that it's mainly because it's a totally different architecture, so those games would require additional resources in order to get up and running and blah, blah, blah. So whatever, I don't really care. Like, for me, I'm going to keep my old machine. I might not keep it plugged in, but if, you know, if the mood strikes that I want to go back and play whatever, then I'll just, you know, plug it in and that's the end of it. And like I say, I mean, when I saw that Sony was doing this, and Sony was the ones that, you know, they were all gung-ho with their legacy hardware and all this crap, then I knew, like, for sure Microsoft was going to be like, yeah, forget it. A little tangent. Microsoft was flat-out asked, I think it was Wired magazine, or I forget which one it is, they were flat-out asked, will my achievements and my Xbox Live account switch over to the new Xbox Live, and their answer was, we have no information to say at this time. And that surprised me, because I thought for sure, because it says, the press release that it got says that your Xbox Live account, not account, but your Xbox Live subscription will continue over into Xbox One. So to me, I'm like, well, how's it going to do that if it uses a different account? So I think it will. I'm pretty sure it will.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it will. The achievements will carry over. Like, if they don't, there will be a lot of mad gamers out there, especially those who have like crazy, crazy high scores on there.
Yeah, exactly. So I personally wouldn't worry about that. If you're like an achievement whore, I really wouldn't worry about that. But I just wanted to put it out there that, yeah, that was what they said. And I thought it was very weird why they said that. Okay, next. Some very weird, I don't know if you caught this. EA, when the guy first came out, like the Prez VA came out, he goes, EA and Microsoft have entered into a new partnership, which will be revealing further details in the coming weeks. And that's all he said. Then he's like, okay, now I'm going to talk about this new physics engine we got called Ignite. It's supposed to make sports games more realistic than ever before. And then he like showed just like a montage trailer for the next-gen EA Sports titles. And then he ended with just saying that there'll be some exclusive features in the new FIFA game on Xbox One. But what made me, what like really piqued my interest was, like again, I always listen to what's not mentioned. He says that EA and Microsoft entered into a new partnership, and further details will be coming in, like, down the road. But I'm kind of curious, what the hell could that be about? You think it's just going to be stuff like that, like DLC and extra features?
Yeah, probably, yeah. I missed that part of the conference, sadly, but, yeah, it's probably just, like, what they unveiled at the end with the Call of Duty exclusive DLC stuff, and... We'll see. I don't think it's exclusive games because EA doesn't really do exclusive games, but...
Well, we'll find out. I don't think it's exclusive games either. I just thought it was weird the way they mentioned, like, a partnership thing. Anyways, well,
stuff like the little things they tried to boost up, like when they said, like, the Xbox One will be available this year and everybody applauded, like, everybody knew that. They just...
Yeah, I know.
They didn't have any info, so they just tried to look... like interesting or like they had like something really amazing to announce, like just these little details on there that's just PR like protocol, I guess.
Yeah, it was weird. That I thought that was weird too, because he's like, okay, and it will be available, and he pauses.
I was certain he was going to say a date there.
Me too.
Like, wow, that's the big thing. They actually have a date, but no, this year.
Exactly. I was like, what? I'm like, that's so stupid. Like, why would you even bother mentioning that? I wouldn't have even mentioned that. I would have just said, like, more information coming at E3. Not even release date. I would have just said, like, you know, more info coming, because I just thought that was so stupid, especially. Like, if it's coming out this year, there's only two other gaming events. You've got E3 in 3 weeks' time, and you've got the one in Germany, what's it called? Gamescom. And you have Gamescom, and that's it. And so I'm like, well, this is so stupid. If they come out in 3 weeks and are like, okay, we're going to launch it on November 12th, I'm going to be like, why the hell didn't you just mention that 3 weeks ago? It's not like, you know, oh, we're still unsure. Like, I don't know. I just thought that was weird. But anyway, the next, like, right at the end, I'd say about 45 minutes into their hour-long presentation, they finally talked about a couple of games. But I want to stress this. I am in no way, shape, or form disappointed with the games they announced, because they told us right away, and they repeated it like five times during the conference, that there would be more video game announcements made at E3, okay? They then proceeded to show like a minute trailer for Forza Motorsport 5. To me, it was all CG, but if it's not CG, awesome. Looked really nice. Then they showed a new game from Remedy Studios, the guys behind Alan Wake, called Quantum Break. Again, it had, I think, 5 seconds of video game footage. The rest was like with real-life actors showing a whole bunch of different scenes and explosions and all this weird crap. We know nothing of the game, so it's hard to say like if it looks good or not. But after they showed those two trailers, that's when the very big information, at least in my opinion, this was big. Microsoft then confirmed they will publish 15 new Xbox One titles within the first year of the console's release, with 8 of those 15 being brand new IPs. What do you think of that?
Wow, I didn't catch that. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. If that turns out to be true, you know that. Even if they came out and said they were publishing like 15, doesn't mean that they will actually do it, because you never know what happens. But if they do come up with 8 brand new IPs in the coming year, or in 2014 rather, that will be actually something that I'm not sure if it's been done ever.
Exactly. So that's why, like, I was like, wow, that to me, that was the biggest, like, news of the whole bloody thing. Okay, just to wrap this up before we talk about the actual machine, they announced that there's going to be a live-action Halo television series that will be coming to the Xbox One, and it's being co-developed by Steven Spielberg. I'm indifferent. I don't...
Yeah, again, this is all stuff that I think has no place in a conference like this. Me, I want it as a gamer. I want stuff that matters to me. Like, good, they're going to make a Halo television series. I'm actually curious to see that, but announce it somewhere else. I don't know.
Yeah, like, for me, I'm indifferent. I watched their forward onto Dawn there, and it was okay. Like, I didn't think it was like, oh my god, amazing or whatever, but I thought it was all right. Anyways, another announcement was that NFL football was going to be coming to the Xbox One through this partnership between the league and Microsoft, and you can expect exclusive and interactive content that's going to be pushed to the Xbox One all year long, not just during regular season. And that's cool. I mean, if you're into football, I'm sure you're going to really enjoy that. But like we mentioned, I really wonder how features like that are going to are basically going to be spread out to the rest of the world, because we just don't know. And, okay, then they mentioned about, you know, that the release date will be later this year. They said there's going to have a lot more information at E3 about video games, and they closed it off with a Call of Duty's Ghosts world premiere, and then said that the DLC will arrive first on Xbox One. The game looked like a high-res Call of Duty to me. Did you have any thoughts on it?
The only thing I found was pretty astonishing was when they compared the jungles to Modern Warfare 3's jungle scene to the new jungle elements in Ghost. I thought that was the first time I saw something that actually looked next gen. But besides that, it seems like something that will be like very, very popular, but nothing really new in terms of gameplay.
Okay. Yeah, like me too. I think that's part of our problem, because in terms of graphic fidelity and whatnot, personally, I find, just like when we saw all the stuff on the PlayStation 4, I don't find it's this giant leap forward. Where you see it, like you said, is when you actually see a side-by-side and they're like, hey, well, this is what we did before, and this is what we can do now. That's where you're like, oh yeah, okay, that's quite nice, you know, like, that's really impressive. You got all these new effects and this and that and everything else. But I find, like, when I see it, like, together, like in a trailer format, I'm like, okay, it looks good, but, you know, I'm like, whatever. But anyways, speaking of looks, what do you think of the actual hardware design of the machine, the new Kinect, and the controller?
Stuff like that, I always need it in my hand or to see it with my actual eyes. It seemed like pretty nice. I really like the new controller though. I like the Xbox 360 controller is my favorite one. I always loved it, but I always was pretty critical of the D-pad. They seem to have fixed that. They seem to, but it wouldn't be the first time they've put me down with something like that. They told me last year, or a few years ago, when they switched with that new that new D-pad they had, where you can use a cross and switch it, and it was basically the same old crap. Yeah. But this time they actually seem to have fixed the actual problem of the D-pad and make it like something you can actually play 2D games with and fighters and stuff like that. So that was my only problem with the 360 controller. If they can fix that, the controller actually looks more neat, I find. And a bit smaller. I'm not sure if that's just me. So it looks like something I really enjoy.
Yeah, me too. Talking about the manette there, yeah, I like that. I wonder what's up with... you see where the guide button is? Like, the fact that it's, like, way up there at the top? I wonder about that. Like, I wonder if there's any more to that, or if that's just aesthetics, you know? Like, is that just the way it looks, or is there something there? Because it's, like, made of, like, this glossy black plastic. I'm just wondering if, I don't know, if it's just done purely for cosmetics or if there's something going on. Because if it's just for cosmetics, okay, like, that's all right. But it seems odd because they could have just put the button right where it is, kind of like right now, in between the other two buttons. So, I don't know. I really want to get my hands on it, like you. just to see, because they said there's now actually the triggers themselves, as you're pressing the triggers, it's not just a controller that has vibrations, but they put like little tumblers in the actual triggers themselves. So that could be kind of neat, like when you get shot or something like that, like a little different feedback or whatever. As for the console, I like the design. It's very modern, though. Like, I was like, ooh, that's very, very modern. If you're looking for some retro, like, funkalicious thing, that's not going to do it. What I want to see, though, is I want to see the size. Because pictures are very, very deceiving. Because it looks very long. It looks like a very long rectangle. But it doesn't look very thick. So I'm kind of curious to see how it actually, you know, how big it is, what's its girth. And the other thing, speaking of size, I find the new Kinect, again, I don't know because I haven't seen it compared to anything. I need it beside my DualShock controller to really know. But it looks big. Like, the new Kinect looks like a really big camera. But I don't know. We'll see. And that's all I got, man.
All right. That's perfect.
But so what are your overall impressions then? What, like, walking away from watching that conference, are you less excited, more excited, or about the same to find out more about the next Xbox?
I'm very curious to find out about anything, but until they actually show me games and tell me, look, this is what's going to come out this holiday season or whatever, then I'm not really, I don't really have anything to be excited about. The new Kinect sounds awesome. They talked a bit about the specs. I understand, like, nothing about specs and all that, but from what I can tell, this is actually will be a Kinect without lag. It will be pretty precise. So I'm pretty excited about the new Kinect. And that's about it.
Yeah, and for me, I'm looking forward to it. I knew Microsoft was going to go in this direction because they were heading there. It looks like this generation is going to be really unique. Like, it really does. And I'm very excited about seeing, like, having all three consoles underneath my television and really getting a feel and seeing where all these companies go, because this looks like the first time where, yeah, Microsoft and Sony might say they're head-to-head, like, competitors, and yes, they're going to have the same type of games and this and that and everything else, but this generation, it really genuinely feels like they are separating. They're going in different directions, with Microsoft really trying to make that all-in-one, there's the title, box that you use, whereas this time around, I think Sony sort of got scared with the whole trying to do too much, and it looks to me, well, no at E3, but to me it looks like Sony this time is taking more of an approach of let's just play video games and incorporate social features through the video games and just leave, like, the multimedia to other people. I could be totally wrong at E3, but right now that's the way it looks between those two. It looks like they're really trying to do different things, and then of course with Nintendo, I don't really know what they're trying to do right now.
Yeah, nobody does.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a conversation for another day.
They're trying to figure out a way to bankrupt themselves, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But anyways, that's for another day. So thanks for joining us, guys. And we will be back next week or in a couple of days whenever the mood strikes. So have a good one.
Salut.